Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
3:03, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA, 1140 and 96.1. It is Friday Eve, and I've got a great story here. I've just got to share this with you. It's from the New York Post. The New York Post says the average American has 4 bad days per month. Now, it doesn't tell you how they pop up, by the way. It doesn't say, like, all right, August the 22nd is going to be a really crappy day, but August the 23rd, you're okay, or August the 21st, Mets a Mets. It just says the average American has an average of 4 bad days per month. And now, here's the interesting part. And I might take exception to this, although I'm not entirely sure. The average American knows by 8:36 in the morning if, in fact, it is going to be a bad day. So things could be great for you at 8 o'clock in the morning, or you could already know, boy, this is going to be one for the record book or what have you, right? Now, what happens if you become aware that your day has gotten bad later in the day? Is that like, do you take a half a day? I don't know. I'm just trying to figure this out as I read this story. Let's say your day went really bad at 12 o'clock. What if you work a different shift? No, think about this. The poor people, right, by 8:36 in the morning, well, that's assuming you're getting up at around 6 or 7 in the morning. What if you don't get up until 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Do you have to do math to figure out if it's going to be a bad day? I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. I've got it posted if you want to take a look at that and offer me your insight. Last night, Oprah Winfrey, a billionaire, proceeded to lecture the rest of us who are not billionaires and therefore do not have the access to the things that Oprah Winfrey has. She lectured us and said that we should, what, be celebrating joy. It's all joyful. Joy. Well, joy is pretty cool. I don't want to argue with you about that. But I would prefer to have some money in my pocket. Wouldn't you like to have some money in your pocket? Take a look at inflation over the last couple of years. I know it's difficult and it's painful, but it's the real world. And on this program, anyway, we do tell the truth. So inflation is an unbelievable burden for all of us. It is truly an invisible tax. And unless you have gotten yourself a 10 or 15% pay increase, you are making less money now than you were 4 years ago. Just the facts. Sorry, the numbers don't lie. You can jump up and down all you want and tell me how great it's going to be if Kamala Harris is elected president of the United States. Maybe you really believe it. I don't know. I mean, I am always I'm always leery of those who are Democrats in the year 2024. Generally speaking, they're nasty people. They really are. They're insulting people. They're people who demean anybody who disagrees with them. They don't think very much of those of us who don't agree with everything that they have to say. And you may have convinced yourself that that's not true, but take this to the bank. It is absolutely true. Maybe they really do believe that Kamala Harris will be great for the country, but I would have to follow that up by asking, well, what exactly is she going to do? You go to her website, you know, she still doesn't have a page there at all devoted to policy. Maybe you're happy just going there and saying, oh, look, she's smiling. And, well, how many boxes would she be able to check? Why, she would be the first president who's a female. She'd be the first president whose father was a Marxist professor at Stanford University. That's pretty good, I guess. Oh, don't forget skin color. Because we have to check some boxes there. Yes, she would be the first woman who was black and Jamaican and Indian. I mean, that's big. That's big. But how about the policies? I mean, honest to goodness, what is she going to do? Is she going to do what she's done now for the last 4 years? Because you need to remember this, and I think sometimes, given the rather pathetic quality of so much of the legacy news media, when she says, oh, well, you know, on my first day in office, I'm going to do this. Well, somebody needs to mention to her that her first day in office was actually January the 20th, 2021. That was your first day in office. And so do you take credit for what's happened, or are you trashing what's happened? Are you looking at this situation and saying, I've never gotten a single solitary vote to be nominated for president? That's rather interesting, don't you think? I mean, here she is, the standard bearer for the Democrats, but she's never received a single solitary vote. If you remember, the first time she sort of kind of ran, she's running against Joe Biden, and it was pretty clear to everybody, right? The books were going to be cooked the same way they were the last time when the Democrats decided it was Hillary Clinton. So they had decided it was going to be Joe Biden. You know, loyal member of the family for 50 years. Not the brightest bulb on the porch, but we don't need the brightest bulb. We just need somebody who's not going to make too much noise and, you know, read the lines the way they're written. Well, he's perfect. She drops out before she gets a vote. Then somehow, some way, she becomes vice president, right? Because Joe Biden says, oh, that was part of the deal. You're right. She's my choice. She's the best. And then this time, you've got 15 million Democrats went to the polls, voted for Joe Biden, and now the big bosses, like the capos and the godfathers, if you will, and I suppose the godmothers, and oh, well, in 2024, there might be godfathers who identify as godmothers and godmothers who identify as godfathers. But anyway, you see what I'm saying? Oh, the big bosses inside that operation said, we're picking her. What about those 15 million votes for the other guy? What do we care? Wow. It's a heck of an attitude, don't you think? And we see what we've gotten. But again, I just go back to the silly, silly issue. What are the issues? Tell me, please, what it is that you're going to do. Because there's nobody that believes that you're going to give $25,000 to each person who wants to buy a house without it having a negative impact on a whole slew of people who are not involved in that transaction. Here's what I can tell you, having sold many homes over the years. And the next home I sell, and I don't know exactly when that's going to be, but it will be with Sarah and Debbie, Reynolds and Bauer Home Team, Keller Williams Realty. But I tell you this, if I know you've got an extra $25,000 in your pocket, and it's not really yours, you were given it, and you don't even have to pay it back, guess what? The price of my house just went up $25,000. What about this other tax she's got? And it's really kind of flying under the radar. It's a shame, but it's there. So I'm going to do my best to try and explain it to you. The other day I explained inflation using weight as an example. That you had actually gained 34 pounds in the last year. But in the last year, instead of gaining 10 pounds in the year, you only gained 5 pounds. You could honestly, with a straight face, say, hey, the rate of my weight gain is down. Now, you haven't lost any weight. You've still gained 34 pounds. You see how they can just play the word game there. There's another tax that she is in favor of, and it is a 25% tax on something called unrealized capital gains. Well, what is that? Let's use Bitcoin as an example. And this, by the way, is why it's not getting nearly as much attention as it should. If they talk about a brand new tax on Bitcoin, you're going to have a whole slew of younger voters who actually understand cyber currency. Their ears are going to perk up. But if you say that it's a tax on, and I'm quoting here, unrealized capital gains, well, most people are just going to sort of kind of yawn and say, well, I've never had a capital gain. I make my money and I pay my taxes and that's it. Maybe I make a donation to charity. Maybe this year we're donating clothing in addition to cash, whatever it is. I mean, it's generally speaking, for most of us, rather basic. And since President Trump was president, it's gotten even easier because that standard deduction has been increased so much. It really doesn't pay the vast majority of us to do anything except take the standard deduction. For the last 4 years, it has eclipsed the itemized deductions, made doing your taxes much easier. So what is a capital gain? Well, it has to do apparently with how many years you might own something, right? You had a thing and you bought it and it went up really, really high. And then you sold it. Well, you only owned it for a month. Well, Uncle Sam says that's a capital gain because you made your money really, really fast. And they want a bigger chunk of it than they would if you had bought that thing, stocks as an example, and then held on to it. Let's say you held on to it for 3 years. Well, at that 3-year mark or 10-year mark or whatever it is, because I don't really know. I've not had to deal with this. Then it's just sort of like the cost of doing business. And Uncle Sam says, well, you've had it a long time. That's not really a capital gain. We're just going to charge you the regular income tax, like it's regular income, which is less than the capital gain. So what is this unrealized capital gain? Well, give me a couple of seconds here. I'm going to explain it to you. And I am going to use Bitcoin as the example. If you don't own Bitcoin or one of the other cyber currencies, that's great. I'm not personally interested in those. I leave all of my financial decisions to Carl Carlson over at Carlson Financial. And thus far, that Financial Freedom Day is approaching rapidly, thanks to Carl. And I believe me when I tell you, I appreciate that. But we're going to use Bitcoin as an example. Because if this happens, you might very well look at this New York Post article I referenced earlier that says every American has 4 bad days per month. And you know by 8:36 in the morning if you're going to have one of those bad days. If Kamala Harris's plan comes to bear on all of us, we're all going to have a whole slew of bad days, and they're probably going to be more than 4 per month. Coming up at 3:33, we got our good friend Brian Maloney. Brian, a brilliant campaign strategist and political organizer and one heck of a talk show host, I'll tell you that. He'll be with us at 3:33, as he is each and every Friday Eve. Oh, and then at 4:33, we've got John Reed. John is actually out in Chicago for the Democrats' National Convention. Yeah, spent his own money to go out there. God bless him. I mean, good for him. I'm not. Tell you that. Well, I got kids in college. What am I going to do? But John will be here at 4:33. Let us know what he is seeing in Chicago and maybe what he's not seeing in Chicago. That will happen at 4:33. Germ, what time would you like me to give away these KC and the Sunshine Band tickets? I mean, we've been defaulting to this 4:20, but I just feel like people who are listening later should probably get a chance. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a command executive decision. 5:20 this afternoon is when we will give away a pair of tickets for you to join me at KC and the Sunshine Band, Atlantic Union Bank, After Hours Concert Series, the Serve Pro Pavilion, Meadow Event Park in Doswell. By the way, it is August the 31st, 7 o'clock. So please, if you know already you can't use them, let somebody else win them. But it will be open for you again. 5:20-ish is when we're going to give you a chance to win those tickets. It is 3:16, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 3:20, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. I'm telling you, I really do. I am just thinking, as I read this New York Post story, it would be great, wouldn't it, if everybody knew by 8:36 in the morning that your day was shot? I don't know what you know, what you actually wind up doing with that information. If, let's say, you got a job you got to get to at 9 a.m. and by 8:36 you look at it and go, well, that's it. That, well, we're done. Let me explain some of the Kamalanomics for you. Kamala Harris, as well as Joe Biden, you might remember him, was like moved around like a potted plant for a couple of years, the presidential meat puppet. Yeah. See, you did remember him. Anywho, they have a plan to tax people on what is known as an unrealized capital gain. So let's say you bought Bitcoin. And you bought Bitcoin and it was $1,000. And again, we're just spitballing here. Remember, I don't use any real numbers because they're difficult. I like to round. So you bought Bitcoin for $1,000. And your Bitcoin went to, let's say it's $1,500. That's a pretty big increase, right? But you're thinking, wait a minute now. My Bitcoin has not reached the actual amount that I would like it to reach. I'm going to hold on to it until it hits $2,000. But you don't know when that's going to be, right? So your Bitcoin's at $1,000, goes up to $1,500, and hey, guess what? It's right around the time you got to file your taxes. Well, under Kamala Harris's program, the $500 that your Bitcoin, in theory, increased in value and that you have not, quote, realized. You didn't sell it. You didn't cash it out. You paid $1,000 for it, and now that's it. It's still worth $1,000, right? Nope. As far as Kamala Harris is concerned, it's now worth $1,500, and you will pay a capital gain on the $500 that it has increased in value, even though you don't have that $500. You didn't sell that Bitcoin. It's still sitting there. But you would pay a capital tax on unrealized capital gains. What if it goes the other way, Jeff? What if you have Bitcoin, you bought it at $1,000? And it doesn't go up $500, it goes down $500. But you're still holding on to it. You haven't sold it, so you didn't actually take the loss. But couldn't you have, you know, an unrealized depreciation? No. So this is, it's not that they got you coming and going. It is a one-way street that benefits Kamala Harris and her team because they simply want more and more and more and more of your money and my money. And they're running out of ways to get it. After all, if they're going to take your money and my money and package it up and give, quote, $25,000 to first-time homebuyers, they got to find some way to get that money. The Biden folks, as you know, for the last couple of years have simply fired up the printing presses at the Fed. They've just printed more money. And what happens? You remember the definition of inflation, right? The economic definition, not the delicious pie a la mode explanation that I provided to you. No, the real explanation of inflation. Too many dollars chasing too few goods. It is supply and demand. If you continually increase the supply of dollars, well, they're worth less. And at some point, they will be worthless, worthless. At some point, if you keep doing what you're doing, then we will see people with wheelbarrows full of dollar bills like we saw in other nations that experienced hyperinflation. It is dangerous any way you slice it. So what exactly do we think our vice president is going to say this evening? I don't know, but Brian Maloney is going to give us a look at all of it. He will be with us at 3:33. And don't you dare forget, 5:20 this afternoon, two tickets for you to go and see KC and the Sunshine Band in Doswell. 5:20 this afternoon, your chance to win those tickets. It is 3:26, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 3:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Friday eve, and well, the weather's not bad. It's not as nice as it was the last couple of days. It's good. Nothing to be upset about, but it's not quite as beautiful as it was yesterday. That being said, let me tell you something. Despite any number of things that could have had me rack up one of those four bad days per month. Remember, New York Post says everybody, every American will get four bad days each and every month. And generally speaking, you know, by 8:36 in the morning. Now, I don't know about late entries. Just saying. But all of that being said, the weather is not bad. And at 6 o'clock, as happy hour commences, happy hour maneuvers, right? Didn't Rush used to talk about those maneuvers? As happy hour maneuvers commence at 6 o'clock, Heidi and I will be out on the Arcadec deck enjoying a delightful beverage. And because I have not had a bad day, well, not one that clocked in at 8:36, I'm thinking doubles. I'm German.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm just going to tell you, I may actually have one for Sam as well, so that I can have a Sam-tastic evening. KC and the Sunshine Band are coming to my neck of the woods. Now, I'll tell you what, I would love to have them play in the backyard. I think that would be great. But they're actually going to be in Doswell, Meadow Event Park, Atlantic Union Bank After Hours, the Serve Pro Pavilion. It's August the 31st, 7 o'clock in the evening. I have a pair of tickets for you, and I'm going to give them away. I got to do math, so I'll just tell you, it's 5:20-ish. All right, make sure you're here for that. So what should we expect tonight from the Democrats' love fest? I mean, it's just been a lot of yelling. God, it has been, they have been so nasty. But to me, that's indicative of Democrats in 2024. They are angry, nasty people who live to insult other people. They really do. Brian Maloney has been around the block a time or two, organizing things politically, analyzing things. One heck of a talk radio personality through the years as well. And I am just always so very happy to say that he joins us each and every Friday Eve. Brian, thank you for being here, sir.
You bet. You bet. I think the DNC convention, Jeff, has been a snoozer because they're just too many speakers rambling on and on, making the same points, and then they push their star attraction to, you know, 11:30 at night.
Yeah, okay, I didn't know if I was the only one who thought that, and you have to tell me honestly, just between us, did you actually stay up to like 12:30 for Joe Biden the other night?
I just watched tidbits of it. There's no way I could have gotten through all of it. It's sheer torture. You know, I mean, I know why they pushed him into the late hour, but I mean, last night, you know, they did Waltz at a late hour, and that didn't make any sense. And they've got way too many speakers. It's like everybody gets a turn, apparently, some kind of like, you know, like, oh, I'm important, so you got to give me 30 minutes up there. And then they all make the same. So I think they're boring the you-know-what out of everybody.
I'll tell you, I think you're spot on. And I look at them, and you're right. It's almost like the participation trophy that they've created for our children, right? Okay, well, you're in office, and Oprah gets up there and says, you get a speech, and you get a speech, and you get a speech, and you get a speech.
Yeah, my mama told me not to trust rich people. You know, it's like, okay, Michelle Obama's net worth is $70 million, and Oprah's net worth is $3 billion. And by the way, I just checked those numbers today. I just verified them to make sure I knew what I was talking about. So those are the exact numbers, at least what Forbes estimates, and that's the gold standard. So, I mean, you know, rich people, it's like, and then here's the thing, Jeff. Those luxury suites at the DNC are $5 million each.
Lord.
So they're railing against the rich and saying they're going to do this and do that to the rich. Those very people are in the room.
And
I mean, what is going on here?
Well, Brian, and take a look at what they did to J.D. Vance, right? J.D. Vance, unless I've missed something, man, this is like the American story. This is the American dream. You come from nothing. Good Lord, your mother is a drug addict of some sort. You grow up in absolute poverty. You join the military. You use the GI Bill to put yourself through school, and good for him. He got into Yale. They trash him for getting into Yale after they just had six speakers, each of whom went to Yale.
It's unbelievable. You know, I really admire J.D. Vance, and he's really won me over during this campaign. He really knows how to attack the right targets in the right way. He is a brilliant debater. He will demolish Tampon Tim. He will demolish him on stage. I can't wait for that night. They could sell tickets for that thing. It'll be so much fun. JD will annihilate them, and I think they're genuinely afraid of him.
Interesting. Do you think they're afraid of Donald Trump in the same way?
I think they're always afraid of Donald Trump, and it's interesting because, you know, Trump is now, I was wondering, like, Trump seemed kind of quiet, and I was getting nervous this week, and I said, okay, it's the DNC, you're not, you know, but look, he's in Arizona. They're talking about tomorrow RFK Jr. endorsing him, dropping out of the race. That's huge.
That is
huge.
Yeah.
I mean, because he was RFK Jr. from the internal polling that RFK Jr. and Nicole Shanahan is running, Nicole Shanahan in an interview a couple of days ago said, we're drawing more votes from Trump than we are from Harris.
Right.
And I thought, because I thought it was about half and half, but it's not. It's like 60-40 or whatever.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, you know, that could give Trump the 1% or 2% boost that he needs to win states that are critical.
And let me remind everybody, Brian Maloney is joining us. Brian is, without question, one of the best analysts when it comes to political campaigns. He's run them. He has just an amazing track record as a media personality. Brian, when we look at those states, and I personally was very happily surprised. I had gotten an email, right? I'm on all the campaign's email lists, and so, you know, they keep you up to date. We're doing this, we're doing that.
Yeah.
So I saw this thing, said, oh, okay, Donald Trump is going to Arizona, and he's got this list of people, and it's a very impressive list, and he's going to be here and saying this, and here's the time. And I thought, well, number one, I'm happy to see him going and actively campaigning in these states, these swing states.
Right,
right. We don't hear any news of it. There's no news accounting of it.
Oh, no.
But he's out there.
Yeah.
Now, I get this other email from the Kennedy folks. In fact, I got a text from, I guess it's his press secretary, because he's been on the show a number of times. And they said, yep, Friday he's doing this big announcement. It's going to be in Arizona. And it took me a couple of seconds before I put two and two together and thought, well, gosh, that might be exactly what Trump needs to bring this whole thing home.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're both in Arizona on the same day, so there's obviously something going on.
Yeah.
And the weird news this afternoon, New York Post, no, it wasn't that, it was on Twitter.
Yeah.
One of the news reporters was saying there's a weird amassing of Mexican police and military just over the border from where Trump will be visiting and speaking. So there's some nervousness about what that's about. So, you know, I'm so concerned at this point about his safety because we know we can't count on the Secret Service anymore. So, you know, but nonetheless, yeah, tomorrow looks really good. And I think he'll be able to steal some thunder from Harris with this. So the timing is perfect. But I really want Trump to get focused on issues. I want him to pound the table on tax cuts and the other issues, you know, the border, which he's going to do tomorrow. So I give him that.
Yep.
But, Jeff, he's got to get on these issues and just get focused.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. As per usual, Brian Maloney joining us. It's just, what, is it a month away before we've got early voting beginning in different parts of the country? So
we're at the 11th hour, Jeff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to raise money for to run some ads on behalf of Bernie Moreno in Ohio, who's running against Senator Sherrod Brown. Yeah, I just picked the race that was most critical, and I'm going to put up some outdoor billboards, so I'm raising money for that at Red Wave America PAC. So that's my project this year.
Oh,
each election cycle, I usually pick one or two and then, you know, funnel the money into bill. I like to do billboards.
Yep.
So that's the race we need for Republicans to take the U.S. Senate is Ohio.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely correct, Brian. And it is, as you point out, astutely, it is the 11th hour. So give me your thoughts on what it is that Kamala Harris says tonight, and will there come a point where the legacy news people actually step up and say, gosh, she hasn't had any sort of a press avail for 32 days.
Right,
maybe we should do something.
Yeah. They're not taking press questions. Right. She's not outlining very many positions. And when she does, it's full-on Marxism with price controls. Even the Washington Post criticized her for that, which was shocking. So it's devoid of substance until you get some substance, and it's scary as you know what.
Yep.
So I think tonight, if her entire thing is about, you know, joy, 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 and happy, 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 you know, she'll still have the white middle-aged females, you know, clamoring for her, and that's her base. And she'll still have them. They're never going to vote for Trump. So that's that. But I mean, does that broaden out support anywhere else? I think that also if she does stumble and we get word salads and we get weirdness, and if we get that awkwardness back, you know, the old Kamala, I think that's going to really hurt her. So this, you know, who knows? I mean, she could do well, she could do terrible, but I think, you know, Michelle Obama speaking, all those Democrats in that room were wishing that she were their nominee and not Harris.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. That's exactly who they wanted. And I don't know if we should say it or not, but the truth is, had she been the candidate, boy, I don't know. I don't think we would have come anywhere close.
We would have had trouble because Michelle is just so, you know, masculine and, I mean, and assertive and authoritative. I mean, she's dangerous in her positions, but I mean, she's formidable.
Yeah. Exactly. And I guess I look at Kamala Harris, I don't want to speak for you, Brian, but I look at her as somebody who is, you know, it's kind of the Peter principle, right? She's failed her way right to the very top.
By doing nothing. I mean, she's never really done anything except be Kamala Harris and get promoted, and it's all the way to the presidency. And that's exactly, it's the Peter principle. Yep. It's the book from the 60s that outlines how some people just rise to the top without doing a darn thing.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, listen,
it's infuriating.
It is infuriating. Now, how do we, in 75 days, get done what we need to get done? You're doing your part, obviously. You're helping out, as you said, in Ohio. That's a vital Senate race. Here in Virginia, I'm going to tell you, we've got a shot, but our Republican candidate, last poll that I saw, is down 11 points.
But he's a great candidate.
Oh, I agree with you. I agree with you. But he's down 11 points, and Donald Trump is in a statistical tie with Kamala Harris. So we got to...
Virginia.
Yep, we got to get... Yes, in Virginia, we've got to get some of those Trump people to say, all right, we're going all the way down the ballot, man.
Yes.
This guy needs a team.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Well, I mean, we have a great Republican candidate in Virginia for U.S. Senate. Right. I mean, he should be getting the same numbers that Trump's getting. I can't imagine anybody voting for Trump and then going Democrat below that. It's weird. Why would you do it?
I don't know. There's some weird things that happen, man. But we're gonna do our best, or at least I'm gonna do my best to remind people of that. I want to remind people, Brian, where they find you on social media, how they learn more about Red Wave America, Red Wave Pack, etc.
So what we've got are two pages going on Facebook with about 100,000 combined people following us. And the one where I've kind of centered my focus this year is on the Media Equalizer page. Mm-hmm. So it's facebook.com/MediaEqualizer, one word, Media Equalizer. And there's information there about our campaign in Ohio that we need contributions for, and our other activities. I mean, we have been working around the clock. We've got a team and we're working really, really hard. And that's what everybody's going to have to do between now and Election Day. Work your butts off. Otherwise, we're going full Marxism this year.
Absolutely. Brian Maloney, I thank you, my friend, for being here. The best of
you
the
bet.
Best. Absolutely, sir. Brian Maloney, again, look for a Media Equalizer on Facebook. Brian is just somebody whose opinion sought out by so many, and we are really, really fortunate that I was able to prevail upon Brian. We've been friends for a long time to join us on a regular basis. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy, it's Friday. That is the official slogan for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. Happy, happy, joy, joy. Rich people are evil, said the billionaire lady. Rich people scare me, said the multi-million dollar lady. Do you make heads or tails out of any of it? I really don't. I would like to think every once in a while, I kind of figure stuff out, right? Not every day, but most times I can. You know, and you think sometimes, look, some people you trust, some people you don't trust, and you know that. Or there's a situation that you're in, and think, man, I don't want to be in that situation, so you do what you can, you avoid it, right? I mean, that's professionally, that's personally, it's everything. So I look at this campaign that they're running, and I'm thinking, well, they have the protection. It's not even the support. It is the actual protection coming from the members of the legacy news media. They are covering for a woman who will not talk to the media. The media is doing that. I thought, my gosh, this is... It's bizarre. At best, it is bizarre. And then I also, I shared this the other day, that as it gets more and more disturbing, like I'm looking at this countdown, 75 days till Election Day. Now, I know that my life is not entirely about this election. I actually had somebody say to me today, well, you know, you can do this to, you're going to get Donald Trump elected. And I thought, well, that's not my job. It's not. I hope he wins. I fully intend to vote for him. I fully intend to encourage people to vote for him. But, you know, it's not my job. It's not my mission. It's none of those things. I find myself being drawn more and more and more to faith. Is that good or is that bad? I suppose it depends on who you're asking, right? But I do. I find myself thinking, you know, moving forward, it's got to be way more about faith than it is politics or policy or stuff like that. So one of the guys who's been with me on this program pretty regularly for a number of years is Dr. Michael Brown. I am not misleading you when I tell you that I have an entire shelf in one bookcase that is nothing but the assembled writings of Dr. Michael Brown. He's supposed to be with us at 4:03. Now, you know what happens sometimes, because he is in such demand and he does so many things. He's unfortunately sometimes had to reschedule and been in the last minute. So, fingers crossed, Dr. Michael Brown will be with us at 4:03. I know my friend John Reed will be joining us at 4:33. He's joining us actually from Chicago. He's there on his own dime for the DNC. And at 5:20 this afternoon, I have got a chance for you to win two tickets for Casey and the Sunshine Band. They're coming to my neck of the woods in Doswell. It is 3:56. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com